please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is from the gospel according to John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize who it was. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them the things he had said to her. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Okay. The hams are baking. Potatoes are boiling. I'll try not to hold you up too long here. I had two sermons. When I was getting ready for Easter, I thought, you know, Easter, man, we need something really special for Easter, right? I know that, you know, the big thing is, and you see it all over Facebook and in the news, and we hear it at church. Everybody says, "He is risen." And the response is, "He is risen indeed." You know, I thought, you know, that's pretty good. Maybe I'll just do that for my sermon. I'll do that. I'll just come in and say, "It's Easter Sunday. He is risen." What more needs to be said? But more needs to be said. There is nothing more important in the whole world or in our lives than that. God loves you, and so do I. Yeah, but I couldn't do that. Sorry. Yeah. I've got a captive audience here. Let's see. I want to tell you a story. I'm going to trim this down a little bit. There was a good Christian man who was doing very well in life. Had a nice home. His health was pretty good. He had a good job, good decent income, nice car. He was actively involved in church, and he'd prayed. You know, he'd asked Jesus to come into his life, and he invited Jesus into his home and his life. He said, "Jesus." He says, I'll give you the best room in the house. So that's my bedroom. He says, it's large. It's got living room furniture in it even, a TV, internet, its own bathroom. Now it's got a balcony outside. That room is yours, Jesus. And so Jesus came and lived with him. Man felt pretty good about life. He'd go to work, he'd come home, he'd eat dinner, he'd sit down on the couch and he'd watch the news at 6 o'clock. One day he sat down to watch the news at 6 o'clock and all of a sudden there was a pounding at the door, and I mean a pounding. And he got up, he went to the front door and he thought, well, who's this? And he opened up the door and there stood Satan. The devil was standing there screaming at him. Smell, oh, he smelled so bad. And the guy just jumped back and slammed the door shut. Whew, what was that all about? And he looked out the window. There was nobody there. Oh, man. He walked away. He went about his business. Next day, went to work, came home, had dinner, sat down to watch the news at 6 o'clock, and all of a sudden there was a pounding at the door, worse than the night before. The door was rattling. The guy was a little nervous. He remembered what he saw yesterday. He thought that had to have been just a dream. This can't be happening. And so he walked down the hall, and the door was shaking. And he opened up the door, and there stood Satan again. And the heat came off of him. And Satan reached out and almost touched him. And he was speaking in many voices. And the guy was sick, frightened to death. What is going on here? And the man grabbed the door and he started shutting it, and Satan put his hand out, and the man struggled, and he finally got the door shut, and he backed up and he was soaked with sweat, shaken. He was, wow. And he turned around, he looked up the steps at the door to his bedroom, and it was closed. And he thought, I don't know if I should go up and say something or what. I mean, surely he knows. And so the man went about his business. The next day, he went into work, though it wasn't a good day. He came home, and he didn't have much of an appetite. He kept looking at the clock. It kept getting closer and closer to 6. He said, this just can't be happening. 6 o'clock, the whole house started shaking. The windows started vibrating. And he walked out in the hall, and he could actually see light coming around the door, flames and smoke. And he heard hideous screeching and yelling. And he just felt himself drowned down the hall. He couldn't resist. He walked down the hall, and he reached out, and he grabbed the doorknob. It was hot to the touch. The smell made him sick to his stomach. And he opened the door up, and Satan says, I want you. You're mine. You're mine. And there was a demon horde with him. And they were just pushing their way into the house. And the man screamed out, no, no, no. And he fights and he fights. And he gets the door closed. And the man turns around and he falls on his knees and he throws up. And he's soaked with sweat. He's scared. He's sobbing. He's crying. He says, I can't take this. And he goes up the steps and he knocks on his bedroom door. Jesus says, come in. And the man stumbles into the room and he says, Jesus, Jesus, don't you know what's going on down there? And Jesus says, I know. Haven't you seen who's been here? Jesus says, I saw. I wanted to help you. And the man says, well, why didn't you? And Jesus says, because all you gave me was this room. This was the only part of your life that you invited me into. You didn't give me the rest of the house. And the man realized he'd done that. Church was for church, and there was work, and then play, and his relationships. But he had Jesus in this nice little box. Gave him the best room in the house, but not the rest of it. And the man fell down on his knees, and he begged for forgiveness. He repented, and him and Jesus, man, they just had a great conversation. And the next day, the man got up. He felt pretty good, and he went to work, and he came home, and he had a good meal, and he almost forgot about it. And when it hit 6 o'clock, it was like World War II. Just the whole house was vibrating. There was loud screeching noises. He heard Satan yelling and screaming out of his front door, and he couldn't help himself. He's walked down the hallway towards the door. The walls were pulsating in and out. The door was going back and forth. Smoke, flames. And he got there, and he was scared to death because he knew that Satan almost grabbed him last time. And he knew that there was no way he could get away. And he reached out, and he grabbed the doorknob. And then he felt a hand on his shoulder. And he looked over his shoulder, and it was Jesus. Jesus says, I got this. I got this. And the man backed up, and Jesus stepped up and opened the door. And Satan went, ah! Oh, I didn't know you lived here. And Jesus said, yes, this is my house, my home. He belongs to me. Beat it, turkey. So he had to leave. It says in James chapter 4, verse 7, to submit yourself unto God. To submit everything that we are and everything that we have. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. When God is in our lives, we are filled with the power of the resurrection. A power that broke all the laws of nature, that turned the world upside down. A power that transformed the lives of a handful of men so that they spread the gospel message all over the world, and it has done nothing but grown from that time over 2,000 years ago in spite of all the persecution. They wouldn't quit. They wouldn't back up. They wouldn't give in. That was because of the power of the resurrection. Dr. Siemens, he wrote this article, and it says that in Africa, there was a Muslim who converted to Christianity. Somebody asked him why he did that, and he said, it's like this. Suppose you're going down the road, and suddenly the road forks in two different directions, and you don't know which way to go. There at the fork in the road, there's two men, one dead and one alive. Which one would you ask which way to go? We serve a risen Savior. God is greater than any problem that we have. And Easter, we talk about he is risen, he is risen. It's true, he is. But we need to talk about, which we're doing here, talk about now what? What happens because he is risen? Because the power that raised him from the grave is in our lives. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And Romans 6, verse 3 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of God the Father, we too may live a new life. I don't know what you're facing in your life, but I want you to know this. I got this. I got this. I got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're facing, I got this. No matter what it is God calls you to do, Jesus is right there with his resurrection power. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. God is greater than any problem that we have. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Right about now, you're wishing that either you were sitting on the end aisle or you were sitting at the other end. I've got this. 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 Imagine feeling his hand on your shoulder. I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. Resurrection power, my brothers and sisters. When you go home today and you celebrate, don't forget that no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter what anybody else is going through. There's nothing to be worried about. Nothing at all are we worried about. Just as we were baptized into his death, we were also baptized into his resurrection. And if you're sitting the fence about this, you need to ask Jesus into your heart anew. Because Jesus wants to go through life with you, through all the good times and all the bad. And no matter what we face, I've got this. That's what the resurrection is all about. So, he is risen. God loves you, and so do I.